Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Girls Like Us, the podcast that asks the question, do you like it like that? I said I like it like that.
Certified, you know I came.
You know, well, this is, of course, a podcast that asks a question. What does a degree in literature get you with the answer? A podcast about children's books. But more importantly, have you played that song on Just Dance 2021?
I have not. I actually, sorry, this is really ignorant, and I can't believe I'm showing myself like this. I did not know there was a Just Dance 2021.
You know, Sophie.
Wait, I have an important question. Do you have an Xbox?
No, it's on Switch.
Shut the front door.
Yes, but this is a big but, if you will. Just like Cardi B. now, I have not checked, and I think my parents got me like Just Dance 2022 for Christmas 2021 because, you know. Okay,
right. It's always a year ahead. Yeah.
But back in the deepest, early depths of COVID, I bought what at the time that must have been Just Dance 2020. And it came with like 10 songs. And then it said it popularized, like it said it listed all these other songs, but you had to subscribe to like Just Dance, like their
like Just Dance Netflix service.
Yeah, basically. And, but then, you know, it was tempting because I was like, I could do all my favorites from the Just Dance of years prior, but
sure.
It didn't have my favorite feature, which I loved the duet medleys. And I loved the medleys. So those were always my favorite, and it didn't have them. But I've yet to crack open the one for this year. I got to check it out. I assume it'll be a little more, since it's like a cartridge, I think it should be a little more loaded up.
Yeah.
Than Just Dance Unlimited, which was the one that I got. It was actually very limited.
Yeah, that sounds pretty limited. I only had one version of Just Dance, but the songs that were on it stay with me. We're like, so every Wednesday I go to the same workout class at Ohio State. If you're an Ohio State student and you want to do a meet and greet with me, the best way to do that would be to come to the Wednesday TRX class that happens at like 4 o'clock. I realize I'm now like giving, like, if you want to beat my ass, like,
yeah.
Also I'll be there.
If you want to all American girl Sophie's ass, you know where
to
find her.
if you want to beat my ass, come to the Wednesday TRX classes at Ohio State. But they always play Rasputin, which is from Just Dance, like 2011. And I know the dance. So, like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I always go with my friend and it's so embarrassing because, like, they play it and I, like, start to, like, my body just, like, takes over and I start doing the, like, you know, jump squat, Rasputin. Jesus Christ. We haven't recorded the pod, guys, in like maybe like 2 weeks. And, like, my talking skills, man. I get dumber and dumber every day.
Well, yeah, we haven't. I don't think that we've recorded a podcast also since, a war broke out. So, that's, you know, you know what, Sophie, it's been a rough week, but I'm delighted to be back with you and talking, and we're getting into it. And what better way to get into it than by? Well, first of all, I do have a little personal life update, and I think you'll be really happy for me. Is that today I went into Aritzia.
Yes! Oh my God! Oh, tell us everything that you found there.
We only went in for a few minutes.
That's the best way to go into an Aritzia.
But I think I found the pants that you bought.
Capital T, capital P, the pants.
Yeah, the pants. Were they called like the Maria or the Marta or something?
Yes, something along those lines. I think they're the Melina.
The Melina.
Yeah.
They felt very buttery. I do wonder if they're real leather.
Oh, it's plastic.
They feel really good. We were looking for a tag, but I didn't want to look too far in.
You didn't want to put your hands all the way down Melina's pants, I understand. No.
You know, there were a lot of really cute things in there. Nothing that I felt the need to try on. And I think my impulse buying is, it's not that bad, but I'm much worse at online impulse buying than I am in person. Because when I see it in person, I'm like, okay, I don't actually want to try it on. And then
see, I'm the total opposite. Yeah. I don't buy anything online, like nothing. Because always when I go to that checkout, it's like, my brain, like, I'm like, I don't need this. But like in person, I'm like, throwing shit, like me and Aritzia throwing shit in a basket, being like, I'm just going to take it all. And then I get home and I'm like, sweet Lord, what have I done?
Yeah. Why did I do this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my final consensus on it was that it is expensive, but they did have a lot of cute stuff, including a lot of stuff that I do really think matches your style. And that can kind of be like the kind of like Skimsy stuff. Like I do feel like
sure.
a lot of the stuff they had, like they had this really cute, like brown workout top that had a lot of their stuff almost verges on like sportswear, but in a, yeah, like, I would never wear it to play an actual sport.
I'm going to stand up. I'm wearing an athleisure item from them right now, which is a white blue jumpsuit.
Yes. I love that. That's so cute. Looks like the Girlfriend Collective one too.
Yeah. But I will say after now having worn it for a few days to do active things, I like it better than the Girlfriend Collective one. The material is better.
Yeah.
And this transitions me because this is what I wore when I went to Disneyland a week ago. And yes. I know that we kind of want to get into that and, you know, kind of
express,
you know, what happened. So what questions do you have for me? Yeah.
I'm going to grill you. Okay. Number one, did you get, well, I know the answer to this, so this is a leading question, but did you get ears? How many pairs? What type were they? Number two, what snacks did you have?
Yeah.
Number three, did you guys win on Star Wars Rise of the Resistance?
Yeah. Okay. So first question, ears. Yes, I bought a pair of sequined Minnie Mouse ears. Mm-hmm. They had a little flower sticking out of them. They were only – actually, so I was kind of thinking – that it like ears were like a $50 thing. Yeah. I have really good news. Ears are a $25 thing.
That's not too bad.
It is not nearly as bad as I thought it would be. And I think it's because like they try to get you in the door being like, mm-hmm. look, ears are $25. And then they're like, oh, or you could buy a lunchbox with this random character from a movie you forgot you've seen for $60. Right, you know?
Exactly.
And so like that's how they get you in the door. Nick bought a Stitch hat, so like Stitch from Lilo uh-huh. and Stitch, where the top was like Stitch's face, and then if you flipped the bill up, it was like the inside of Stitch's mouth. So he wore that throughout the day. It was very cute, and now both of those are in the possession of my baby cousin, because as soon as you get like, you know, if you're like a normal person, you like wear them in the park and you're like, I look so fun. And then like, as soon as you get into the car to ride home, you're like, get it off me. Like I need to get this as far away from me as possible.
Well, especially because my Disney World souvenir buying experience was that I bought a hat, but it was also because I forgot to buy a hat. And that it's a Monsters University hat. I do still wear it occasionally because I think it's cute that it says MU, which is also Miami University where I went. That one's cute, but with I can't really imagine Nick, a Stitch hat is a very bold choice.
Yes.
The MU is a little, you know, it's subtle. But
it's
especially,
cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. But especially the ears, it's like those don't, there's really no other, unless you save them for Halloween, it's like that doesn't serve a practical purpose.
Right. And here's the other thing. I can't have somebody walking into my house and seeing those.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They'll take away you'll be preemptively disbarred.
Exactly. I need people. I can't be answering questions about why I have sequined Minnie Mouse ears in my home. So, they were purchased and now they've been, you know, removed from the home as I believe like a person
confiscated.
Should do, as is custom. Yeah. So the next question involves snacks. I have a huge reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I had the best margarita of my life in Disneyland.
Okay.
From Pim's lab in the new Marvel land.
Was it big or small?
It was big.
Okay.
It was in a big beaker. So they give you this. And like, once again, I was thrilled because they give you this big beaker. It was a guava margarita, this giant beaker. I wish I have the beaker still. I wish I would have brought it over.
Yeah.
This giant beaker. It was a guava margarita with boba in it.
Whoa.
And it was literally one of the best cocktails I've had in my entire life. I'm not lying. I'm not like embellishing. Like mm-hmm. I drink a lot of cocktails. I'm a cocktail person. I expected it to be like way too sweet and lacking in like nuanced flavor. It was incredible. I would have sipped on it all day. I only drank one cocktail when we were there because, like,
wow,
this got me through the whole day. Like, I was sipping on this thing for, like, a couple hours.
Was that more expensive than the ears?
It was, like, the same price.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you gotta be prepared for that. I mean, you have to, like, just give yourself over to those prices when you go into Disney World. Yeah.
Orlando. And, you know, I had a lot of privilege in the experience because literally we were in the car on the way there at, like, 7 a.m. and my tax return hit, like, at that exact moment as we were in the car on the way to Disney. So
God,
I was like,
God wanted that to happen.
Exactly. I ate 3 corn dogs throughout the course of the day. Mm-hmm.
Same flavor?
Yes, all the same flavor. I had like 4 different, we bought churros like 4 or 5 times. I had like 4 different flavors of churro.
Mm-hmm.
They had a spicy churro, which was fun. What else did I eat? Oh my God. There's a restaurant at Star Wars Land that, and I'm not going to call anything by the correct name because I'm more about, you know, experiencing the,
right,
the experience through my taste buds than I am, like, actually, like, reading what the signs say. Yeah. There was a restaurant. It's not the cantina. You cannot get into the cantina unless you book months in advance.
Yeah.
Trust me, honey, I tried. I tried to book it, like, a month in advance, and they were like, you cannot get this for, like, 6 months.
No.
At a different restaurant in Star Wars Land, I had, like, an Asian noodle dish that was fantastic. It was called something like Gormp Gomp Stomp, like some like like some like Star Wars word. But
something
it was
that if it, we deconstructed it enough, we could probably find some
some sort of meaning.
Some fault with it, yeah.
I was like, but it was like a take on a Dan Dan noodle. It was delicious. I bought like a $30 chocolate cake from this place that was like shaped like a sphere.
That was called Goop.
Yeah, like Goop cake.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was called Jar Jar's Cafe.
Yeah, it was like the food in Star Wars Land was legitimately delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I got like ice cream 3 or 4 times. I mean, like I ate like a champ, but also we walked like 15 miles when we were there.
You're
so
like sweating off. You need the sustenance. Yeah.
You do. And it doesn't feel like, I didn't feel like, oh my God, I ate way too much. I was like, I needed all of this insane shit in order to like survive and thrive here.
Yeah.
I will say, so your third question had to do with Rise of the Resistance. Mm-hmm. So this is probably where I have the most meat of a story. So, you know, we started the day when you do park hopper now because of COVID, you have to pick a park to start the day in. So we were like, let's start in California Adventure. Friend of the pod, Michelle, who I was with, really loves California Adventure. And that's where, like, Cars Land is. And, like, that's where the new, like, Marvel stuff is. So I was like, oh, like, that'll be fun, whatever. So, like,
and
we go.
And did you see Luigi come from far away?
Yes. That was the first ride we did of the day. This is also, like, the first time I went to Disneyland, the first and only time I went to Disneyland was 5 years ago. And, like, I sort of famously.
Too high.
Yeah, had lower capacities. Yeah. So a lot of these things, like Luigi Come From Far Away, that literally the last time I went 5 years ago caused me to drop to my knees and, like, weep in ecstasy, were more like, oh, like, this is something for children.
Now, like, did the cars, as you claimed to me, did the cars drive around and talk to you?
Yes, but they didn't. But it was not as, like, basically the last time I went, I was, like, I was in survival mode, so I couldn't, like, the last time I went, I didn't, like, you didn't see, like, the strings being pulled, you know what I mean? We're like, now, like, when a car drives around and, like, does a meet and greet, it's, like, the whole street has to be cleared.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody has to guide the car, and then they have to put, like, cones up all around it to make sure, like, a psychopath like myself doesn't try to jump on top of it and be like, I love you.
Does its mouth move?
Yes, that's the coolest part, is that the mouths move, the eyes blink, and, like,
but it
look
is, like,
around.
a giant piece of technology that has to be, like, chaperoned.
Exactly.
By it's, several employees.
Right. Like, when I was there, it seemed, like, kind of like an autonomous spur-of-the-moment type thing. But
like
then
a Roomba.
I...
Like, it was, like, doing, like, Roomba technology.
Exactly like a Roomba. Exactly like a Roomba. And... like, when I was there then, I saw Mater when I was, like, first of all, here's a tip from, Sophie, the Rick Steves of this one part of Disneyland. If you go to Disneyland in the morning and you haven't gotten your, because I was all excited. I was like, I'm going to have my morning coffee in Disneyland.
Yes.
They have made it so hard to get a fucking cup of coffee in Disney now because you have to order everything on an app. So you get in a line for coffee and you're like, awesome, when I get to the end of this line, there's going to be coffee. No.
Yeah.
You get up to the front and they're like, well, did you order on the app? And I'm like, I need my fucking like
drip coffee.
Mocha drink right now or else I'm going to go insane. So I finally got my coffee after we rode the Cars ride where it's like the roller coaster and the cars are racing each other, which holds up. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we like I finally got my coffee. And so as I was walking out, Mater was doing a meet and greet at like one of the little cones.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like I felt the magic was gone. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I didn't. I was like, I'm sober. Like, I don't need to be going over there. I will remember Mater, like, as it was 5 years ago, where I felt like he kind of just appeared and was like, oh my God, it's Sophie. Hey, girl. Like, so we started over there and we didn't go over to Disneyland where Star Wars Land is until like one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we walked around. We did the cool thing about – so we were with Michelle, who is recovering from surgery, and so she was riding in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And in California Adventure, all of the rides, like, the wait areas are totally accessible. The cool thing about Disneyland is because everything was built in, like, the 60s, it's not accessible. So you can just go in the back for everything.
Oh,
so you don't have to wait. Yeah. Nice. So like we got through like all the classics like Indiana Jones, Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion. Like we hit them like boom, boom, boom. And so as like dusk is falling, we're like, let's go over to Star Wars. And they're not doing the e-tickets for Galaxies or what's it called? Rise of the Resistance anymore. Like you have to wait in a line. So when we got there, the wait time was like literally 4 hours. And I was like, I'm not waiting in a 4 hour line.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if I get to the end and like Yoda goes down on me. Like, it's
Mater,
not happening.
Mater goes down on you too.
Exactly. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's go. Like, and I also didn't want to do the Millennium Falcon ride because it's all video screens and I get so sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's go eat here. And then like, maybe we can come out and check what the wait time is after we eat. So we ate that delicious like Asian noodle dish. And then we were like, we got there and they were like, it's going to be like a 3 hour wait. And we were like, you know what? Like, we've already hit all the stuff we want to hit. Yeah. Like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And like, we can
the
like.
The queue is such a big part of that ride anyway.
Yeah. So we were like, let's just do it. Like, whatever. So we go and we're waiting in line and the line is moving like really slowly. And we were like joking around that like, you know, we were standing in the same place like where we entered the line for probably like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were joking around being like we should just watch like an entire Star Wars movie like before we go on this ride, like on our phones. And so like we're standing there like we're doing whatever. And then the people are bailing out of the line like left and right, like all these people walking all the way back. But by the time, like, we're, like, 30 minutes in, we literally could not have bailed because Michelle was in this giant wheelchair.
Right, you're
stuck. So, like, you can't turn it around. Like, it's just not happening. So we were like, you know, we're going to get through it. And all these people are bailing. Suddenly, 30 minutes in, the line just starts moving like crazy. And we waited less than an hour.
Wow.
Until you get to, like, where the experience starts happening because half of, you know, you spend 20 minutes doing all the pre-show stuff at least. So you go in and like, it was so funny because Michelle is in this like giant wheelchair and the whole thing like is in character.
Mm-hmm.
So like you go, you get on the little, like at first you like go into this room and like BB-8 like comes out and goes like
starts eating your beef soup.
Exactly. And you're like, thank God.
Yeah.
BB-8 comes out and is like beep beep boop, and it's like, and then Rey shows up as a hologram. The hologram looks incredible, and they tell you like, oh, you're gonna go get on like this ship, like you're a civilian going to like this new airbase, and so you get like they do this whole thing. The door opens into this outdoor area that's like the airbase where like they're loading the ships. when I tell you, like, I'm the most cynical person alive. Like, you guys have listened to this podcast. I gasped, dead sober. I gasped and was like, oh my God, like, this is incredible. As we walked out there, like, it was like, and it's funny because all the employees who are like there playing characters, like working on the ships and stuff, like, must see this all the time. Yeah. Like, every 5 minutes when that door opens, some, like, freak from Ohio being like, oh, my God, how did they do this? But I was, like, you know, like, running around being like, holy shit. Like, but also, we also have to manage the fact that, like, Michelle is, like, her mobility, you know, is super limited. So not only am I running out and being like, this is so cool, I'm also being like, okay, where – I'm trying to run up to the person, like, in character and be like, yeah, do your little speech. But also, like, my friend is in a wheelchair, so, like, what do I do with her at the next things?
Yeah.
And, like, how limited is her mobility going to be? So we go into, like, this little bus thing that, like, shakes around and, like – you know, the person comes up and whispers to us, like, hey, somebody should, like, keep their hands on, like, the back of her chair so that, like, she doesn't go flying.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's very Star Tours, if you've ever been on that ride, where it, like, shakes around. And then they're, like, oh, the ship's, like, going down and it's, like, getting captured by, like, the bad guys or whatever. And so then the door opens and it's the bad guys and they come and they board the ship and we were all and they're like, we're taking you guys hostage. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were all joking, like, if it were real, they would immediately just, like, shoot Michelle in the head
because, right, like, they would,
everybody in our ride group, like, all 15 people had to move at, like, a snail's pace so that, like, we could, like, get her through the whole thing.
I get that it's, like, Star Wars, so I'm like, you are in an element of fantasy, but I cannot say I'm crazy about the idea of being taken hostage.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It is kind of scary because they come, like, they're all dressed up as, like, the enemy soldiers.
Yeah.
And they come and they get you off the ship. That's when I sent you that picture of us in the room with all the stormtroopers.
Which I thought for some reason, I thought that you were, like, at a bar and those were all, like, the taps you pull. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not look closely enough.
Well, because they're plastic things, like, and I was at a weird angle because I was, like, literally running and, like, trying to take that at the same time. And so it's funny because people have, like, varying degrees of getting into character.
Yeah.
So at first they pull us, like, they pull you through the stormtrooper room. Then you have to line up and Michelle had to get out of the wheelchair and, like, had her hand, like, on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And you have to line up and go into this other room where, like, a Kylo Ren, like, animatronic does something.
Eats your pussy.
Eats your pussy.
Yeah.
And then if you've waited more than 4 hours only, of course. And they come in and they do, like, this, like, little show. And then what's supposed to happen is, like, the door gets carved out by somebody rescuing you and, like, falls away. Well, the thing broke while we were in there. So we were stuck in there for, like, 15 minutes. And then they were like, okay, you guys have to come out again. And the people we got the next time who were lining us up were really mean and didn't seem to... like, they were really in character, and they didn't seem to fully realize, because the other person had took Michelle's wheelchair to move it to the next part of the line. These people didn't, like, even though Michelle was in this giant leg race, didn't seem to know or care, like, that her mobility issue was actually, like, severe.
Yeah.
So they were like, why are you moving so slow, you rebel scum? And I turned around and I was like, and, like, I had, like, kind of moved off of, like, the line you were supposed to stand on, like, so that I could better support Michelle. And they were like, back on the line, idiot. And I was like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, oh, like, don't fucking talk to me like this.
Right,
like, I don't,
yeah.
like, now they're doing that, like, hotel thing where, like, the whole thing is, like, a two-day experience where you're in character. I couldn't take it because even being in this in-character thing for 10 minutes, I was like, this is, like, fundamentally degrading that these people, like, are talking to me like I didn't pay $200 to be here. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So you go, you get on the ride. I mean, I will say, like, once again, like, I am not, like, I feel like I understand, like, the tech and everything. I had no idea where it was going in the ride. There were, like, multiple times on the ride where I was like, holy shit, this is, like, it's genuinely, I would recommend to anyone, even if you're not a Star Wars person, even if you're, like, Disneyland is stupid, it is, like, it's a marvel of, like, human ingenuity, like, that ride. Like, it's genuinely, it's, like, how people must have felt when they first walked into, like, the Pantheon, when the Pantheon was first built, where you're, like, I did not think our collective cultural technology, like, could
allow this.
Like, yeah, like, it's shockingly cool. It's, like, super crazy. And it, like, in reflecting on it, too, it also just makes me kind of depressed that, like, the best artists and like thinkers in that like technological sphere are like working and for shilling for Disney Mouse. Yeah, yeah. Disney Mouse.
Disney Mouse.
For Disney Mouse.
Mr. Disney Mouse.
Yeah.
I do not appreciate it.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like, it's both like a Marvel and mm-hmm. also like kind of sad.
And a,
and a Star Wars and all and the other yeah. properties that Disney's bought. It's an interesting thing to reflect on that like you're like only through insane like predatory capitalism was this beautiful thing able to exist. And mm-hmm. it really is like art. And you're like,
yeah.
Like the only thing I'm like, I just wish this was like this beautiful like public experience because it is so cool to be like, you know, like 20 years ago, I was in class doing type to learn on like mm-hmm. the worst Mac computer ever.
Yeah.
And it like took an hour for it to boot up. And now you can get into this ride that's like totally digitized. And it literally feels, even to like a 25-year-old pervert,
yeah.
like you are in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. I want to do it. I'm scheming to get to Disney World sometime this year. I want to do this. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Anyway, speaking of things that are not fun and not worthy of looking forward
no.
to.
Speaking of not the most brilliant minds of
no
any generation.
Yeah. See, if people had been less busy working on Rise of the Resistance, maybe they could have produced a Gossip Girl book that actually gave us what we wanted for once.
Right.
We get closer in this book, but it's still nowhere near readable. I always, every time I read the Kindle version of these books, I'm like, I must be missing parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they move so quickly, and yet they are so repetitive. So, for instance, in this book, Vanessa's parents are introduced.
Yeah.
And for what reason, I do not know. I don't know. I think that this series also suffers from too many characters' perspectives. Because we get Dan, Vanessa, Jenny, Nate, Serena, Blair. And sometimes we'll get, like, a random character, like, thrown in. Like, I think we have had, like, Aaron's perspective or Eric's perspective in this one.
Yeah.
Serena's brother. But it really suffers from bouncing along too much. And it really, in my opinion, I mean, I don't like Dan, but I also don't think that, I think that it should just be Serena and Blair. And probably only, like, Blair is the most probably compelling perspective.
100%.
Because she's, like, the most well written character, and we get the most insight into her, and mm-hmm. usually her actions make sense,
yes.
which is not something that could be said for many of the other characters.
No, like, I totally agree that if we retooled the Gossip Girl and made it the Gossip Girl that we want, it would be totally focused on Blair and Serena and the relationship between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And also, in my opinion, like, it would be like Blair and like the three girls would be Blair and Serena and Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And the ways that those characters like caused both hardship and like good stuff for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now everybody feels like they're on an island. Like, none of the characters' storylines intersect in meaningful ways. Like, even Blair and Serena, who are, like, together, I think, for this entire book. Like, they
yeah.
are always in the same room while the yeah. events are happening.
At one point, they were like, we were in a fight this book. And I was like, were you? Like,
yes. Like,
yeah.
I had no idea. Those characters, like, what they're going through and what they're experiencing has absolutely nothing to do with the other person, even though they spend the entire book like in a hotel room together,
right.
basically.
Yeah.
And it's just so boring. Before we got on the call, I told Franny exactly what I feared would happen in the mm-hmm. last book did come to pass, which is the big Gossip Girl birthday party that was what she was writing about in her blog throughout
yeah.
the entire last book happened between the events of last book and this book. So, like,
yeah.
we didn't even get that on screen at all. We got, like, a minor Gossip Girl event that happened during the events of this book. But even that was, like,
yeah.
Like, not real, and like the characters didn't seem to necessarily even know they were at a Gossip Girl event.
No, no. And I don't know, this book also, like, this book and the last book have really displayed some of the like meanness of the series. Like, there is, to start with, like, Jenny's character, who in the last book has this kind of like para relationship with her best friend Elise, in which they're kind of like sexually experimenting, but Jenny's not into it and the other girl is. They kind of forget about that in this book. And then Elise is like wanting to fuck Dan, and then he like, he tries to fuck her and she's like, no, and it's upsetting and whatever.
Yeah.
But Jenny had been seeing this boy in the last book named Leo. And in this book, she's confused because he doesn't let her come over to his house. And then she stalks him and she's like, oh, he's rich, but he's really just like dog sitting for someone, which I was like, you could interpret that fine. Like, I don't think that's that hard to figure out.
No.
And then she goes to his house and she's like really upset because his parents are old.
Yes.
And that makes her be like, I can't date you. You're so disgusting because your parents are old. It made me so sad for this boy.
I know. They go to his house and she's like, not only are your parents old, but the bedding you have in your room is so out of date that it like disgusts me. And I'm like, first of all, what Jenny fails to take into account, that especially when you're in high school, if you date someone with old parents, they don't give a fuck what you're doing.
Yeah,
they
and he's a boy. I really don't think he cares. Like,
no, they don't give a fuck what you're doing. Like, everybody I was in high school with, like, the people who had old parents, it was like, that's where you would, like, drink and party and do weird shit. Because, like...
Is that where you did your Glee makeouts?
No, that was like, that was rich parents with the big house.
Okay, different story.
So like, different story. That's like, but it was a similar vibe because those parents were like, you know, like not to get too, not to reveal too many things about like somebody else's family, but those
not
parents.
Not to say where they go to, you know, their exercise class or
right,
what
exactly.
day it would be on and what time slot, but.
Yeah, like not to like, you know, totally out them in that way, but like this was not a family where it seems to me, you know, and I didn't interact with this family beyond like when I was like 14. Mm-hmm. So this is the judgment brain of a child.
Mm-hmm.
That family did not seem clued in whatsoever to like what their children were doing.
Right.
Just because the parents were rich and like kind of society people. Like they had no idea that like anything about we would come over and they would like be like, what's your name again? Like it was like a nanny's type thing. Like I knew that family's nannies more than I knew the parents.
Gotcha.
But old parents are similar where, you know, maybe there's some like older kids. Like my sister, when my mom would go out of town, when my sister was in high school, this is not to say that my parents were old, but she is the youngest child in our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time she got her driver's license, and if my mom would go out of town and it would just be my sister and my dad, I would call my dad and he would be like, I would be like, what's Lily up to? And he would be like, oh, I don't know. I actually haven't seen her in a few days. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, girlfriend was running her own program.
Right,
meanwhile,
exactly.
Like, I was like a text home every half hour type, type leash. So,
yeah. Yeah, and this is what, like, I was just, there was no lesson to be learned here.
No.
And it made me sad for this boy who Jenny does genuinely really like, and then she's just like, he's not fashionable.
Yeah.
And it's not cool to have old parents who watch TV.
Yeah.
I'm like, what else are they supposed to do, girl? They were nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had matching sweatsuits on, which is sick.
That's cool.
Yeah. I sort of defended this book series when we read the first book and the meanness of it, because I always like to think the best of the author, especially when we start a series, not for her sake, but for my own sake, being like, this person knows what they're doing. And like, we're going to spend the next few months reading these books and we're going to enjoy them because this person has a plan for us. Obviously this is not the case. And it is falling into some of like the late era click meanness where it really is just like, it's just negativity, meanness for the sake of meanness. And there's nothing like, I don't even have anything intelligent to say about it because it's like the R word is on every other page of this book.
Yeah, literally. And this was, what year was this published? Late enough that, 2004. So
I don't know. It's like, but people were having that discussion in 2004.
Right. Yeah. That was, I mean, like, I remember talking about that in like elementary school. So
yeah.
You know, like, around that
fully.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just, it's like weird, like it's weird mean girl shit, and it doesn't, it's like without a message. Like everything right. in this book just happens, like it seems to be totally divorced from morality, because every time we get to the beginning of a new book, it's like the characters are all redeemed and yeah. on the same level playing field and able to fuck up and make these like horrible mistakes. Like Dan and Vanessa, for example, yeah. like broke up kind of at the end of last book. And in this book, it's kind of like, meh, like we're just not in each other's lives anymore.
Right. And let's talk about Dan, because his storyline, I guess, like other than Blair, I don't see a point to any of these characters. Dan's whole thing in this book, because of course, after his critically acclaimed poem Sluts in The New Yorker, his agent is able to secure him an internship at this place called Red Letter, which what they say it was bought by like Condé Nast.
In yeah,
the book.
Which
like, they're not buying that. Like,
oh yeah, like Condé Nast would ever buy a literary magazine,
right? And he, the author is like a fake, or the editor is like a fake German guy, and then they're like, we don't actually read submissions. We just do what our friends like. And to me, this feels like our author, Cecily von Ziegler, Ziegzar, whatever. She perhaps was rejected by The New Yorker, like Tri-Quarterly or something. Like she,
yeah.
And I do have to say, it's like, sure, there is some sort of like incestuousness, like in the literary world. But I do feel like generally when I've gotten rejections from, you know, those like types of bigger publications, they usually provide a reason, and that's fine. Like, yeah. And this is kind of implying that they're just like, literally like, don't look at the poems at all. And Dan also immediately is starting to like do mail fraud. Like mm-hmm. they're like, send our mail. And he's like, oh, I'm just going to dump it in the river, which I was like, why is he doing this?
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Dan's character so much, but it's also like what these books are doing over and over again are like asking us to like have sympathy for like a young, like rich dude poet.
Yeah, I can't.
And I just will never be able to do that.
We got another one of his poems.
Oh my God. Oh, no. Also,
what I get from a lot of these Gossip Girl books is that Cecily von Ziegler hates intellectuals. Like, because the other, so this is Dan's poem. It's the first, and this was up to the reader to address that the narrator was addressing a dog and not his old girlfriend or something. It's the first baseball game of the season. I wait for your kiss. Breath meaty like chocolate. My shoes are still there. One in your bed where you left it. The other in the backseat of my car. And then when Vanessa's parents are in town, they like go to like this, like they are put up this gallery installation that's like, there's this brown and white horse in it that's devouring a supersized Caesar salad out of an enormous wooden bowl. Besides the horse is a blue plastic bucket with a pitchfork sticking out of it. Whenever the horse pooped, the stylish German girl behind the desk near the door of the gallery would jump out of her swivel chair to shovel it up with a pitchfork and dump it in a bucket. And I have no doubt that these types of things exist in New York, but I'm like, where are the yeah. normal fucking people in this book that I can root for? They're just not present.
No, and that's the problem. And I think that this is why I think maybe this week we should watch some of the show on the yeah. Patreon, because this is what I think, at least from watching a couple episodes of the new Gossip Girl series mm-hmm. that they try to do. Like, they really, like, try to make the characters, at least a couple of them, seem human so that the inhuman characters have like something to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Because in this book, it's like it opens on Blair arguing with her mom about how it's like passé to go to Oahu instead of some other island in Hawaii. Like,
which I don't have any. And it's kind of like, I think what we're running into here is like with the click for like, you know, as like mean as it could be and as kind of dwelling in like, you know, consumerism, it could be, there was at least some fun with it, right? Like the Glossop Girl in the click was fun. Like some of the things yes. they spent their money on were fun. In this one, I'm just like, I don't care. And it's like all the trappings of like boring adulthood that it's just like, I don't care. Like it's much, I don't know. It's not,
there's
as fun.
A certain laziness too. Like, have you noticed this? Every single book, I believe, they have traveled.
Yeah. And they're never just like in school for that long. Because last time was, there was Christmas break. And then I think the last one was Valentine's Day. So they were maybe mostly in New York. And then this one is spring break. But the time before that was the college one. Yeah.
So they're constantly traveling, which I think there is like an element of laziness to that because it's like, we can't have these characters placed here. Like if we take them to Sun Valley, Idaho or to Oahu, like we're going to have more to do with them there. And I think it's like we have never had a moment except for in the first book of the characters being like truly grounded and having to deal with the consequences of like wherever they are in their growth path. Mm-hmm. And so it's like we're constantly just like, what if, you know, it's like a shitty sitcom. It's like, what if they all were stuck in a van or like, what if they all went skiing? Yeah. What if they all did college interviews at the same time? And it's exhausting because I'm like, we never have like, what if they were normal? So we don't have like everything are these little bottle episodes, but we don't have the standard action to be like, oh, this is why the bottle episode is interesting.
Exactly. The other thing that's hard with these books is like, we are kind of siphoned on into the quote unquote like non-rich who are obviously still very wealthy and the rich people. And so we've already kind of covered.
Hold on. Who are you referring to as the non-rich people?
Dan, Jenny, Vanessa.
See, this is where I might push back a little bit. We've never been told explicitly, at least with, I was so close to saying Jan and Denny, Dan and Jenny, that they are not rich.
But they live in, they live in their quote unquote crumbling brownstone. Now, obviously to us knowing this man owns a house in New York, that is going to indicate rich. But
are you referring to, because I think that you might be conflating verbiage used in the TV show with verbiage used in the book. Is crumbling brownstone said in these books?
Yes.
Okay.
And they talk about how gross their apartment is all the time. Now, but it's still,
I always take that more to be like their dad is a disgusting slob.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. But he's also the editor for a beatnik magazine. So I from his job alone, I think that
these other parents don't have jobs. It's all family money.
Right. But these people, I think, are positioned, in my opinion, to be less wealthy than the rest of the main characters.
Sure. Okay.
But and I think if you're a 13-year-old reading this, you're like, they're like, quote unquote, poor. Again, like us knowing that New York, this guy owns a brownstone in New York.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that being said, we talked about Dan and Jenny. I think that there's kind of a deep hatred in this writing for Vanessa. And way that she's written about makes me sad because it's like, there's a lot of like random things, like just because she had a shaved head doesn't know she didn't know how to flirt. And like, they're always talking about like Pudge on her and just, you can tell that the way she's being written about is we're supposed to kind of, I think, view her with a level of disgust that says a lot, I think, about the ethos of this book.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I will never forget, I think it was, like, two books ago where they talk about, like, her knees being fat. And it's like,
it's like, what?
I don't even know, I can't even visualize what a fat knee is. And if me, a woman who has lived in a woman's body my entire life, can't possibly visualize a fat knee, like,
a knee is something that, I guess, and prove me wrong out there, knees look pretty similar. Like, if you're just, like, looking 100%. In on, like, the kneecap of a person, I don't think you're going to see that much difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. A kneecap is a kneecap is a kneecap.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that, you know, a 12-year-old reading these books definitely doesn't know what fat knees are.
No. But,
and yet they immediately will be insecure about whether or not they themselves have fat knees.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, I hear you that it makes you sad because it kind of makes me sad too, but it doesn't make me care enough to even make me feel actual emotion. Like if I think about it, I'm sad, but I don't.
Yeah.
Nothing here causes me to think about it.
Well, and she's just like not a likable character.
No.
And really out of any character, again, I think Blair is the only one who ever has motivations that make sense. Maybe Jenny a little bit, depending on the book, but not in this one. And Vanessa in this one, her parents are in town and they're like artists and they like are mean to her because they don't think she's artistic. And then she tells them she got into film school and they're like, yay. And she's like dating this kind of finance bro despite him, which I'm going to call out this book, I think, on some anti-Semitism, because did you catch any of that in here?
When they were talking about his name?
They talk about his name and then they're constantly talking about his, how like, quote unquote, like weird his nose is.
Oh, no, and I didn't just catch like, that.
Like, again, it's like 2004 was, it's just so blatant. Like,
there's no excuse.
There's no, yeah, and their layers, there's like no layers to peel back. Like, it's just there. It's like not even like we're reading into it.
I was talking about this with a friend the other day, which, I mean, like, obviously all forms of, like, you know, racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, discrimination, like all forms are bad.
Right.
And like, but I just, it's always kind of like so strange to me when like a piece of media will pick such an obvious one.
Yeah.
And not think that what they're doing is wrong. Like,
yeah.
When you are a child, at least for me, like when you're a child and you're learning about how like historically like anti-Semitism has worked, like this is one of the things that is top of the list, like in terms of recognizable forms of like discrimination and oppression. So to just like cavalierly include that in your shitty novel is even more shocking because it's like, really? Like you couldn't even go a few down on the list. I guess what strikes me is like the laziness of like the anti-Semitism and the racism and the ableism that we see in these novels, because it's not even like, it's not even like clever forms of like microaggression. It's just like straight up like macroaggressive, like violent rhetoric. And it's like, why? Like, I cannot find one convincing reason why.
It doesn't need to be here. And it is interesting. All of our characters are white.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do think about it, this and I know that like it's a specific sect of New York, but this book is about New York. And there we're seeing like no like kind of cultural layers to it beyond just their whiteness. And I think it would have been much more interesting if like they, I mean, I would not trust this author to do that, but like if that was expanded on a little more.
Yeah.
And I would hope if these were written today that they would be a little more representative, because it does just make it boring, because we're kind of reading about just the same flavor of person, unsympathetic, you know, privileged nerd over and over again. And it makes it not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is like something to be said for like, I believe if anything that this book convinces me of, I believe that there are people who live in New York, who live on like a two block radius, who like, you know, are completely insulated by wealth and status, who like live like an all white, totally segregated life. Like I absolutely believe that. I don't believe that at a high school, you cannot find at least some characters with different perspectives and different cultures, because even the less wealthy characters of whom you speak are totally unconcerned with anything that's going on around them, except for this insular, like hyper wealthy playground.
Yeah. And isn't Vanessa supposed to be like on scholarship?
Yeah, but like,
but her parents are like successful, like,
right. Talked about artists.
Artists, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like when they go to that fundraiser at the end of the book, like all the other people in the room are like, are those artists? Like,
yeah,
we know them.
Yeah, and we know who they are.
I don't know. And like Vanessa's dad is wearing a skirt and like everybody has something to say about it.
Yeah, they did kind of an annoying thing this book, which they haven't really done in a few books, where it'll be like, before two characters walk into the scene, we'll get a scene of like three characters like gossiping about them.
Yes.
And one of them that kind of pissed me off was at the very end of the book. It was like, Serena, I heard that you did like a chapstick ad while you were skiing. And she's like, Serena chuckled to herself, like the crazy things that she got up to, you know, made her laugh like that other people came up with. And sure, could this have been like a little bit of like wink wink at the audience, maybe, but I'm like, you literally, like, a chapstick, her being a model in a chapstick ad would be so much less crazy than her having a perfume named after her. Because in this book, there's a perfume named after her called Serena's Tears.
Yeah.
That, again, is like, she's always like on buses. Like, her picture is always on buses for some reason.
Right.
I'm like, okay, Carrie Bradshaw,
if
we get it.
If there was a girl at your school, Franny, you were in high school, and there was a girl at your school who constantly had like new pictures of her coming out on buses. Like, yeah. It would be the talk of the town, and not in a way that's like, I heard she was in a chapstick ad. It would be like, I'm going to go fucking talk to that girl who was on the side of the bus because she's the most interesting person here. And I got to ask her what it's like to be on the bus. Like,
yeah,
it would not be this weird, like, oh my God, like, what a slut. That's how she ended up on the bus. I would be like, how do I get on the bus? Like, tell me.
Yeah, tell me how to be on that bus.
Yeah, can you take me to the place where the person puts you on the bus?
Like, yeah, how does she getting herself into this these crazy bus-based scenarios?
Right.
They still fail to explain in these books.
Absolute failure.
So then our other remaining characters, so Nate, Blair, and Serena are all headed, they're all like skiing, where is it? Is it in Colorado?
Sun Valley, Idaho.
In Idaho. I've never heard of that.
Sun Valley, you've never heard of it because Sun Valley is legitimately, like, you can only go there if you're the rich of the rich. Like,
yeah,
that is a like a playground that really only like really rich people in like LA and like out west know about. Okay, it's like the kind of place where, like, when my parents and I talk about, like, oh my God, what would be like the coolest place to go for a skiing vacation, it's like, what if we went to Sun Valley? But, like, you can't just, like, it's hard to, like, there's not really, like, it's like an if you know, you know type situation.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know.
Clearly.
Yeah. Clearly, I don't know. But so Blair is like getting into it with her mom because her mom is like, even before Blair, like, it's like spring of her senior year. So Blair's not going to be leaving, you know, moving out, quote unquote. And even I feel like when you move out for freshman year, I don't think that's a true move out. Like,
no.
I mean, at least it wasn't for me, but like she, her mom is like turning her room into a baby's bedroom already, even though Aaron, who like doesn't Cyrus Rose, like her stepdad, like have another house or something? Like,
no, they moved into that house.
Yeah.
That's that, like, the Cyrus Rose home is the home that they moved into. Like, Blair has not lived in this room that's being redecorated for baby purposes for a long time because they just, like, that's when we first met Aaron, is when they're like, we're at this house now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, Blair's, like, room is, like, getting made over so that the baby can be in there. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to move in with Serena. And Serena invites her on vacation. Blair is staying in. There's a lot of, like, room-based drama in all these books. Actually, there's a lot because Jenny doesn't like Leo's bedspread. Mm-hmm. And then Blair, like, kind of develops this big crush on Eric, Serena's older brother, who's in college, because she's sleeping in his room. And, like, she's, like, sleeping in his, you know, clothes in his room and reading his diary, which I'm like, yeah, if I was 17 and, like, I would definitely develop a crush on that boy if I was staying in his bedroom.
100%. There's nothing more sexual than, like, having not had sexual contact with somebody before, like, putting their clothes on and, like, jerking off. And I'll say it.
Putting their motor, their, like, little robe on and their tan robe and their stick that they're holding and putting on some some green ears that look like them and sitting in their, like, little
jerking
Tatooine
off
cave.
I am. Yeah.
Have you started the Elizabeth Holmes show?
I watched the first two episodes. I will
so
say.
So Yoda is, she's someone who would like Yoda to eat her pussy.
Let's do
he's done it a lot. Yeah.
Let's do a digression here because this book is so fucking bad.
Yeah.
I have to admit, now after watching, I've watched almost the entire Anna Delvey show, which I keep getting high before I watch that show and then, like, conking out 10 minutes in. So I'm really good at watching 10 minutes of that show. And I absolutely know what happens for those 10 minutes. But then the rest of the episode, like, no idea.
Right.
And then this Elizabeth Holmes show, I have to say, and I want you to come at me with this because I want my mind to be changed. I feel bad for these women.
Yeah.
It works on me. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, it does work.
I don't want them to be in jail.
No, I have not started the Anna Delvey show. the Elizabeth Holmes thing, the thing that keeps, and Anna Delvey, my only experience with her is I think I read like whatever that big, whatever her big article was, they're talked about.
Yeah, the people. New York Magazine one.
Yeah. And then I also read My Friend Anna, which is a firsthand experience of someone she scammed who, and this.
That girl sucks. That girl sucks. I'll say it. The My Friend Anna girl sucks.
But she was like not rich though. Do you know what I mean? Like this got her in like major credit card debt.
But it didn't, because American Express said, just kidding, you don't have to pay it. We understand. You're writing a book. She was a fucking Vanity Fair photo editor. She wasn't rich, but she wasn't like, she's not some random bitch.
All right. Well, I digress. I still think that like the victims of that, like.
Okay.
You don't like me using the word victims.
I don't like you using the word victim. Franny.
Sophie, imagine if I even vaguely got my identity stolen, what a mess I would be. Like, I don't care if she got that money back.
You wouldn't get your identity stolen in that way.
Name one Vanity Fair photo editor whose name you know.
No, I'm just saying it's not like a teen podcaster. Like it's a job that you get paid money for. Like, okay, this is what I'm saying. Franny Comstock, would you go on a vacation with some random bitch from Europe that you met a couple months ago out of the country living beyond your means? Would you do that?
I don't think so.
No.
But I'm also not accustomed to the highfalutin celebrity lifestyles. I don't know this woman's, but that did give me a different perspective on it, because I do think if it's like, if you're scamming like billionaires, it's like, go for it. But that had like very real implications for this one woman. We can agree to disagree on that. I haven't seen My Friend Anna yet. But the Elizabeth Holmes thing, and I know that she like totally was bad, but I do keep thinking, I'm like, she's 19.
Ooh. Yes, I think so too. She was 19 and a lot of people were telling her to do a lot of different things.
Yeah. And that's all me being off of one episode of it. And I haven't read the book or anything. And I did start the documentary. I had to turn it off because she scared me too much.
Yeah. I mean,
because she really freaked me out. Yeah.
Yes. She is scary. And I think that we as a society made her scary. And I think that like this hustle culture, the way that it is imbued into women, like purposefully creates these monsters that we as a culture do not know how to deal with. And I think like I genuinely, and I get it, like you can come at me all you want. I think that there is a deep level of like weird sexism in the Yas girl boss narrative. I think that there is. I don't like it. I think that Elizabeth Holmes and Mark Zuckerberg, the only difference in their stories is that she was fucking with the medical field. Yeah. And I think that that's wrong. And I think that she fucked things up for a lot of people. But I don't think she had any idea that...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that when you get to Silicon Valley, the way people talk about things, it's all the commodification of human life and experience. So why would anybody think about the medical field as anything differently within that culture?
No, and I agree. And yeah, and to me, that's where like the storylines between like her and Anna Delvey kind of split, because like, yes, on one hand, like Elizabeth Holmes like wanted to be, we see her in, so, you know, the show is not very good, by the way. Like, I do like Amanda Seyfried, but the editing is really, really clunky. And at one point, the exposition is that she has a book, a notebook titled Ideas for Products.
Yeah.
You know, how normal people talk. But, but it's like, you know, ultimately, like, this was just something I was thinking about, because she's maybe being told no by a few people who know what they're talking about. But I do think that it would be difficult when the whole world, because you say like, oh, I could do this with blood. I mean, now I know, because I've like looked into it, that no, you couldn't do that. But like,
that's no, you could like, not do that with blood.
You could not do that with blood. But like I feel like 99% of people, probably including these venture capitalists, are not going to understand that can't scientifically work. Because like, you tell me that, and I'm like, okay, sure.
The Tesla blood is, didn't work for the longest time. When you bought a Tesla, you were buying the idea of one day having a future operational Tesla. So the problem here is that there's a huge difference about like perhaps maybe one day having an operational Tesla and like your blood test being correct. Like, but to people in that sphere, they weren't thinking of it as different. So she was empowered to like essentially fake it till you make it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that I think the other thing to consider there, and like I do, I'll admit, like I haven't done my full reading on her.
You don't have to do your full reading on her. It doesn't matter.
I think that I would feel worried about patients who are getting false diagnoses, right? Like that's what I would be worried about. But it seems like maybe that didn't happen to the extent that
it did not happen to the extent that they want to say that it happened. And I will say, like, there are stories from people to whom it happened, and it is devastating.
Yeah.
And, like, I am, like, that doesn't mean that those people's experience is not valid, but it was not an endemic sort of, like, problem.
Right. And I think that that's what, where it comes down to with this. And, like, because I agree, like, almost instantly the, like, being like, yes, girl boss queen, like, as, like, a derogatory thing started to rub me the wrong way, because that's what, for a long time, that's what people were being told success did look like.
Exactly.
So, and then to kind of turn it around and it is like patronizing in a way. But I think that the other thing with that and specifically with Elizabeth Holmes, it's like, you can't tell me that the medical industry isn't, that there aren't people like that who are just like taking money from people every day. Like, I'm just thinking about like insurance companies, like,
yes,
like, obviously, like so many parts of the American medical system. And like, I don't know. So that's,
so here's
what I'm
saying.
I have more sympathy for her than I guess I do for Anna Delvey.
I don't have a ton of, I just think that over and over again, what makes me sad and what these, both of these stories and these shows did a good job at like getting my pathos is that it models how, especially we as women, but like we as consumers in general, are shown all of these models of like, this is what it looks like to have success. This is what it looks like. You have to fake it till you make it. You have to do all these things. Like, mm-hmm. You have to hustle. And then when a woman does it and like does the same kind of bad things that a man, mm-hmm. like men are constantly doing on right. a daily basis, all of a sudden, not only is it you're doing the wrong thing, like, it's okay to be like, you're doing the wrong thing and this is harmful.
And she was.
Was, of course. The problem is then when it gets to mocking, be like, you stupid idiot. Like, you thought this was going to work, you dumb bitch.
That's what's blowing my mind about that story to me, is because I'm like, I would think it would work. But also, like, obviously she's so much smarter than I am. And that's where it comes down to the patronizing, and I think that we will kind of get more into the show. And this is what I've heard from the book too, is that there were like a lot of like, for people who, there were a lot of people like on like visas who just had to, like, it was a horrible working environment, yes. right? Like that is all, I guess I'm speaking more to like her like original idea and intent than I am like how she actually ran the company, because it sounds like that sucks. And like, yeah.
But she was a teenager.
Not why people are mad at her though, right? Like, they're not mad at her for running the company, which they're mad at her because she failed on this item. And like, yeah, like the voice thing is like disconcerting for her, but it's also like, I don't know. Yeah, it is like you're right. Like, we create these monsters and then we mock them, especially because I do feel like there is kind of a moment in time. And like, I think I've learned to think, but like when I was like, let's say like entering like young adulthood, where it was a lot of like, and this is obviously a smaller microcosm, but like, you know, fuck shit up, like with boys, like, you know, be a slut, whatever, like hurt their feelings, whatever. And there's this kind of like, I think young girls are told to be like men,
yes.
in negative ways,
yes.
and are encouraged to do that. And then when they do it are mocked, right? Yes. Like,
exactly. And that's what's rubbing me the wrong way. And what both of these stories, I feel like, are doing a good job of drawing out, because mm-hmm. I think that not only is it rude, but it's also totally like empty brain, anti-intellectual to be like, especially when a man posts a yas girl boss meme, it's like, you're so fucking stupid, because it's like, oh, you're so much better than her for having like a degree in socialism from Oberlin University, Kyle, like, fuck off. Like, it's just, it's not like, it's not funny to me. And I do want to revisit this really quickly to say that if you, like, and this includes the woman from the Anna Delvey show and the women from the Tinder Swindler, never ever go on an international vacation with somebody if you were staying in a way that was so beyond your means that if the shit hit the fan in Morocco, which mm-hmm. is, you know, like, not a like Western culture that like you, the traveler, would be familiar with. Never go on a vacation that is so beyond your means that if the shit were to hit the fan, you could not pay for it and it would be like devastating.
And you know what, Sophie? I just learned that lesson from getting back to Gossip Girl, a new Netflix original featuring the guy who played Charles in Spencer and Leighton Meester herself.
Oh,
the weekend
yes.
away, in which a girl goes on this rich vacation, and of course her friend dies, and then she's gonna get fucked up. And she's staying at this Airbnb, and she's like, I don't like her credit card keeps getting denied because her friend was like, it's on my ex-husband's credit card. Yeah, don't do it. Just like for self-protection, like don't.
And if something happens to you, you're not a victim. I just don't like these girls are not like that.
These are not my statements.
I know. Franny does not claim these. I don't like the like this. The girl from the Anna Delvey mm-hmm. thing keeps giving these interviews where like she's like, what Anna did to me was a crime. And like she is being like, you know, sort of iconicized by all of these pieces of media. But what people forget is that she did a crime against me. And I'm like, you, an economic crime, the restitution is.
You get your money back.
And this girl got her money back. So I don't, it's like, why are you going on TV acting like she killed your brother? Like, I just don't, it's so fucking bonkers to me. I'm like, you got to go to Morocco and it was traumatizing. Next time, don't go to Morocco. Like, do an interview being like, hey guys, if a person with a fake Russian accent tries to take you to Morocco with them, because they're trying to, for the record, do something that is like, shady and illegal to like circumvent the conditions of their visa.
Yeah.
You don't have to go along with that. Like, that's not like, don't go to international waters with a crazy person.
I think that also like what I'll give you with that too, is like, I read that book. I was stressed out for her being in that position. But like it does make you like the Theranos, a lot of those did affect like people who actually like, patients, right?
Yeah, people getting like HIV tests.
Right. But do you think like a bigger part of that also was like crimes against quote unquote investors? And then in this one,
that's
it's like
the biggest thing. That's what she got caught for. She did not get caught for all of this stuff about the patient stuff was all just on background. People don't give a shit about that.
Right. So it is like who can lose the most amount of money. And yeah, that does like when you break it down like that versus like, yeah, obviously things where like people are dying, those types of crimes that I don't. Yeah, that's I think that's a really good point.
I just don't care. Yeah. Like that's like I don't like there's so much better use for your time than trying to like what this girl and like good for her. Like once again, if something happened to me like that, that became a media circus, girl, write the book. Congratulations. Yeah. You hit big. Like that's huge. What I don't like then is after you wrote this book, you got your opportunity out of time to seek a different opportunity. It's like, going on and talking about how you were victimized when you've already written the memoir and gotten the check. It's like,
it's like Caroline Calloway girl.
Exactly. Like it just reeks of weird white woman victimhood to me.
Okay. I think that's fair.
And
back to this book, we haven't even talked about Nate Blair and Serena.
Oh my God.
We got to talk about them.
Good thing it's just a one sentence fucking rule.
Well, Nate is there with his new girlfriend, Georgina, who is like needs help like majorly. And the whole time, and this is another example of when there's like almost like no sympathy given for her. Like Nate's just like, oh, she's so immature. She's freaking like, you know, coked out of her mind all the time. And it's like, well, maybe she needs help. Nate's like, I'm going to break up with her because it's actually not as fun to be with her as I thought. And we haven't even fucked yet. Blair's obsessed with this guy, Eric. And then Serena is I would say sexual relationship with her brother. Like she's constantly like sitting on his lap and nuzzling her nose into his chest. I'm like, have you ever done that with your brother?
I would never do that. I mean, like,
no.
Yeah, I like.
Let's say it's an older, younger sibling dynamic. If my brother sat on my lap and nuzzled his head in my chest, I would be like, don't do that.
Yeah, I'd be like, why are you doing that?
Right. Like, so much that, like, so that, like, the guys, like, in this book are like, wait, are you fucking her? Or is she your sister? But Serena's, like, jealous of, like, Blair and Eric because they're not really paying attention to her. And then there's a weird, like, thing. The dynamics between Nate, Blair, and Serena, to me, feel like this happened to Cecily. And she was in this, like, weird love triangle because they're very specific and almost, like, unrelatable. Like, there's this thing where they get back from skiing, and at one point Blair was going to lose her virginity to Eric, and then she's like, this isn't the right – I'm not going to do it. I want to lose it to Nate. I want to be back with Nate. But at the same time, Nate – oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I've totally forgot about this. Is that, like, there's a part where Georgina, Chuck, who is fragrant – like they are – tripling down on the gay thing and also like making it seem like he's like also faking being gay, like he's just trying it on.
Yeah
And also he has a monkey at the end of this book. He has a little monkey with him,
and they don't even give us any like fun monkey hijinks of like the monkey like pulling someone's hair. It's like they're like, oh, by the way, the monkey was there, and you're like, wait, what monkey was. Did I miss something?
Yeah, he's gay as can be. Of course every gay man has a monkey. Yeah, and he's, like, literally, like, they keep, like, talking about him, like, he was just trying being gay on. It's just, like, very offensive to me. I don't know. And then, but Georgina and Nate and Serena are all, like, skinny dipping in this hot tub. And then Georgina and Chuck, like, tie Serena into this toboggan and, like, push it down a hill, and it, like, falls into a cold river. She's, like, strapped in, drowning. And then Nate saves her, but then he was also, like... I think she's been there for like 30 minutes. Nate saves her and he's like, oh, all you need is like a hot shower and you'll be back to normal. I'm like, take her to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm like now.
She's literally like strapped in. Like she's like struggling to breathe.
It's funny because this book, like, it's like nothing will happen for like 45 pages of the book. And then it's like the most traumatic thing you've ever heard. And then they're like, slap her on the ass and put her in the shower. She'll be fine. And
yeah, like, she'll be just okay. There was a very sad part to me, and I'll get back to Serena and Nathan, but, like, when Blair and Eric are about to have sex, like, Blair, like, keeps, like, closing her eyes, and then Eric is like, are you nervous? And she's like, no, why? And he's like, well, like, you're pushing your body away from me. And that made me sad because Blair kind of has, like, I don't know, I've definitely been there where it's like, yeah, like, let's just, like, get it done with. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's like, you know, I can see that in But Blair is definitely, I think, the most relatable character. And I think a lot of that is in regards to her sex anxiety. That's like the one well-written thing in this series. But Nate and Serena then come back and there's like a very weird thing where like they like go and like make out. And Serena's like, I know that you still want to be with Blair, but we'll always have this passion. And then it's like the monologue is like, oh, like Serena and Nate, you know, would never love each other in the same way that Nate and Blair loved each other, but they would always have this passion that they needed to fulfill. And like, so Blair wouldn't need to know.
Yeah. Like they said, it was like something funny. It was like every so often they just needed to hug and kiss each other. And I was like,
yeah,
I mean, I guess on some level I can understand that from like a young person perspective where like, I don't know. I find that like people I was with, when I was obviously not in high school because that's all just like marred in like trauma and disgust. Yeah. But like people I was with in like maybe like early college, like you always are kind of like, yeah, like I could make out with that person again and it would kind of be maybe hot. But it's also like.
But you don't need to.
And you don't need to.
And it's like, if you think about it also, yeah, think about like that person and being like, oh, like maybe like this is like sexually excited because this was the first time I did this or whatever. Yes. This is the first time I felt this way. And then you think about like that person, like as they are now, and it's like, they're making it seem like this is some sort of lust and love connection, but like almost like sibling love is how it's almost described. And
but I think that that's not wholly unrelatable, at least from my perspective, like where I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like, because at least for me, a lot of the people I was with when I was those ages, I remain friends with.
Yeah.
In like, in a lot of cases, in like close friend ways. Yeah. And it is kind of like, it's hard to explain because if you're not somebody who has that experience, it does sound weird, but it is like, if you can like go through all of this stuff and be able and be like, oh, I've made peace with all of that. It is this mm-hmm. beautiful thing where you're like, wow, like it's so amazing to like see this person like be with other people or have other opportunities and
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Like,
and I do get like there is an intimacy. I don't have that so much as people I've actually been with, but like there's a lot of people who I like have had like very intense crushes on who I'm not
yes.
like now friends with, but I forget that I had like a crush on them in that way. And it's like,
yeah.
And I think some of that, and some of that I think for me is like experiencing, and I think it's very hard, like not hard, but it can be difficult as like for me, like being, you know, queer, like I think those friendship feeling and crush feelings did overlap a lot.
Sure.
And, but for boys, I would always attribute it to being a crush. And for girls, yes. I would be like friends, even though those ratios were maybe not
right.
Yeah. There. So I think some of it is just like a desire to be close with someone can often be because you want to be good friends with them. And like those can all overlap. And I think that's great and whatever. But I feel like in these, I get what you're saying. I think this is like being like I just thought the sentence of like even like Blair would never have to know if every couple of years they just made out. Like, I don't yeah. think that's as relatable.
Yeah, no, I don't think, I think you're also right, because especially for me, I'm like, my dream, and I say this to my friends all of the time, my dream would be for all of my friends to kiss and fuck each other all the time. Like, not yeah. all the time, like, not in like a crop, but it would be like, it's like...
And you, or just...
No, not no, me.
Just observe, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't, it's like, I don't even have to watch, but like, for me, I'm like, oh, like, all I, I'm like, this is awesome, like, I don't yeah. care, like, but... I just, yeah, I mean, it definitely is weird, and it is a weird feeling, especially I feel, to attribute to a high schooler.
Yeah, because that's, I think that's like, I don't know, it was, that just like really struck me as like, this is obviously a personal experience that she's extrapolating onto these characters.
I guess what I'm trying to say is what I think she's articulating is a real like feeling that mm-hmm. at least for me, I started to feel like in my... I mean, I am in my mid-20s, but as you enter your mid-20s and some of the intense, like, drama of maybe, like, what you went through with your college friend group, like, you start to realize, oh, my God, like, this was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, as that starts to wear in and you're like, I'm just fortunate to be alive and to, yeah. like, be able to, like, still know these people that I knew when I was so young. Like, I feel like as that starts to set in, it's like you do have this sort of feeling of being like, you know, all of this, all of these feelings I feel are legitimate and like right. good for me and good for her and good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that makes, I think that totally makes sense. But again, I do think that's like an adult perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you're saying too. It's like, it's weird that these teens would be like, have essentially right. this like emotional maturity about it.
Yeah.
But, and obviously they don't know because they're like, well, we can do this and Blair doesn't have to know. And it's like, that's a,
right. I mean, that's the immaturity coming out.
Oh,
right?
Did we? Well, speaking of, I know they're not in a thruple, but did you listen to, I sent this to you and Spencer, this, I found this YouTube couple called Dana and the Wolf, and their whole thing is writing songs about being polyamorous and also like doing skits where they talk about like, so how was your date with that girl? Well, we just made out the whole damn time. And I encourage everyone to go check out all their songs about polyamorous love, because not that's not even the content. It's it just is really funny because I get the feeling that they got one song kind of popular and now they're like, we got to keep doing this.
Yeah, we got to keep doing the same thing over yeah. and over again. And speaking of doing the same thing over and over again, let's be done.
Okay. With this book. Yes.
because now we've gone long on a book that we were like, we hate.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Girls Like Us this week. As always, you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Girls Like Us Show. You can find us on frolic.media/podcasts along with an array of lovely Frolic sorority sisters that we have. You can subscribe to our Patreon, $5 a month. You can literally just download every Patreon episode we've ever done and then like unsubscribe. Yeah. We're totally fine with that. Patreon.com/ Girls Like Us show. You can find our lovely producer, Camden Stacey, at Cam Stacey. He's playing a lot of shows coming up, I know, just from perusing his social media myself. So if you live in Chicago or like the Midwest in general, mm-hmm. And you want to like go and vibe in a place where people are playing music, it seems as if maybe we're in like a little bit of like a COVID downturn for the time being. So take advantage of it. Go listen to some music. You can leave us a review on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please make that review 5 stars. Even if you have like a concern about me, you can bring that to me in the aforementioned exercise class that I go to every week.
Yeah. And I would say that would probably make Sophie more motivated in an exercise class if instead of playing Rasputin, you were just kind of like somewhat constructively critiquing.
100%. 100%. And, you know, as always, keep listening, keep checking us out. And our theme music is by Leggy. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.